Apostle Fermi Lazarus is a man raised by God to demonstrate his wisdom and authority to the Last Day Church. He is the lead pastor of Sphere of Light Church, and God told him years ago that a time will come where my wisdom will be needed to navigate tough times in the body of Christ. Then I will cause your voice to be heard, and all who pay attention to my word on your lips will not lack light and direction. He is a man sent from God, sent to raise God's end time armies. With Apostle Fermi Lazarus, every minute counts as you listen attentively.
In Jesus' mighty name we are praying. Sit down for a moment. Let me... One of the operations of a prophet is to bring interpretations to the activities of God. Okay? And by divine grace of election, I stand in that office. Pay attention, everyone. Let me share a story with you. Is that okay now? We are not going to be able to finish the meeting because the glory of God is so strong. What we call the move of God now in Nigeria, in the Nigerian church, there was an opening. Please pay attention. I want to interpret this house to you. Is that okay? Then I will tell you by the words of the Lord what is next. There was an opening in the Nigerian church. Any generation that has a move that is significant is only significant because time and chance happened. Pay attention. Between 1967, but really cogently, we'll say the early 70s and the late 80s, there was a mighty opening. It was that opening that produced most of the significant men that are standing out now in Nigeria. From winners to name all the churches. I don't want to mention names. One of the prayers I prayed for you before coming is that you will be empowered to arise with your own generation. Amen. Because there is a generation that you must be enrolled with. The call of God upon your life is not for only you. Please pay attention. Now, in that season, as many has discerned the opening and said yes to God and were part of that mighty wave, they became those that we refer today to as fathers. Now, there were people that God was calling in that season. You know that the first call of God is not a call to ministry. It's a call to intimacy. He called his disciples that they should be with him. Then he might send them forth. Sometimes those who jump to ministry first know nothing about intimacy. Pay attention. So as many has recognized the opening and responded to the opening and yielded their lives to the opening, they mattered in the move of God. Some that God called around that season that later woke up in the 90s and now say, now is the time. Once the door is shut, you will get with effort what you should have gotten with grace. Hold on, don't write it. There is a window that opens. Exactly. The door of seasons is not always open. It opens and it closes. It opens and it closes. It opens and it closes. If you enter at your time, it will look as though you are the only one God called and anointed. If you miss your time with the same labor, it will look as though God didn't call you. Because there is something about being on time. There is, listen to what I'm saying. There is something about being what? On time. On time does not refer to being in a hurry. On time is what? Being precise. To be exactly where you should be in the plan of God. And that's why one of the ways you will know that it is important you rise with your own generation. There is always a clarion call. And that's why if you look at my generation and I listen to people like your pastor, Apostle Edward, I listen to people like Lawrence, I listen to all of them, I listen to Pidan. Well, it is always amazing that our stories, though we may not be around the same location, but there is around the same time that certain event began to happen. This one will say between so and so year and so and so year, God began to do this. Between so and so year and so, God began to do this. And then you will listen to them and say, oh, mine too was around that same time. It is those who broke through that you will know the time God began in their lives. Those who died halfway, you will not know God started with them, but they didn't come out. Do you understand what I'm saying? What we listen to and say, it's about the same time. There are those who listen and say, I should have been in this quad, but for this girlfriend. Go and check. Check campuses where God barely finds generals. You will discover that most of them got into a relationship in part one. Anybody that will break the trend must not enter into one till it finishes. I just said that prophetically. So you observe about the same time. And that's why the day Jacob gathered his sons, Genesis 49, and he said, gather yourselves, you sons of Jacob, that I will tell you what will befall you in the last days. He called Reuben. He said, Reuben, you are my firstborn. Look at it. My might, the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, the excellency of power. That was his destiny. Reuben, my firstborn. Firstborn takes double portion. God has sent me tonight to teach on a very simple subject. What do you want? But please pay attention. Said Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. What was the problem? Verse 4. He said, unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. Why? Because thou wentest into thy father's bed. Then defilest thou it. He went up to my couch. You know, when I read this scripture, I shiver. Because when he said this to Reuben, suddenly Joseph remembered. The same devil came through Potiphar's wife. Thank God I didn't fall. When men are enrolled to be in the same generation, they will have to pass the same exam. They are in different locations, but their temptations are similar. And the idea is that it is he that purges himself from this that will be a vessel unto honor. So something is happening. There is mass recruitment. There is also silent mass failure. So you and check marathon races that they run during the Olympics. Lots of people start. You pray. I know this is a prayer house. But when it gets to the end of the race, they start coming in trickles. And you ask, the energy with which they commenced, where did it go? One of the things I'm going to be teaching you as I teach is how not to die halfway. You will not vanish like smoke. That amen didn't look like you're interested. You will not become the man who almost got there. The devil of your generation is coming. But you must purge yourself on it. One time a father came. I was ministering. I was under the meeting. And while he was ministering, he began to remember names. Where's Brochuks? What about Inamdi? Where did they go? They were the ones with the blazing torch. Somewhere, somehow in the journey, many get silenced. Sometimes it's just one decision. One decision that will have lasting effect. Sometimes some try to come back and recover. It looks like the door is shut. As I was praying towards this meeting, what I want to say is quite, people can misunderstand it online, but I don't care. I began to see the word, the redemption of the East, the redemption of the East, the redemption of the East. The time is coming that those who will stand out in the move of God from this part of the country must have one history or the other with this house. It's not your pastor's making. God has ordained it so. There is a silent thing cutting off the head of the anointed. You will not know yet because you are busy praying. And those who are not praying will go with that flood. One time, I think finally here or so, I went to greet one of my friends. No, I had to spend the break time with him because usually you have to stay back on campus and pray. You know. And when I got to his house, I found out many of his colleagues, almost all of them, either impregnated a girl or got pregnant out of wedlock. And I looked at him. You are not so much of a born-in Christian. How did you escape this epidemic? He said, I didn't try to escape. He said, after secondary school, I was just busy learning keyboard. He said, by the time I was done learning keyboard, after the classes, I found out that many of my colleagues had gotten pregnant. The strategy of God is to get you busy with Him. You are not supposed to be trying to avoid patterns. Be busy with God. That's the route. God has chosen it so that the East will not lack men. Now, listen, that is a part of, because there's another part. But as far as, do you understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about that one. The fire that God has started here, you know it is spreading. But it will spread beyond human imagination. You won't believe it. Reuben, the temptation coming your way is not coming your way alone. Joseph has passed his test. He didn't sleep with Potiphar's wife. And I am begging you by the mercies of God, so that when that day comes and God raised men from this house who are filling stadiums, healing the sick and raising the dead, they will not ask, where is so so and so and so? And they will say, he married somebody he should not have married, and the fire quenched. And I've come to tell even the ladies that delay is not a license to marry a fire extinguisher. There are things that must be preserved. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's a gathering, there's an assemblage going on. Is there anyone here saying, I don't want to vanish like smoke? I'm praying now. Many things silence people. I don't know if I've shared the story with you before. It was on campus. I did not know that what I escaped was the devil's knockout punch attempt. You know, in boxing, there's something called knockout punch. Oh, yes, I trained boxing. So there's the hook, there's the jab, but there's the knockout punch. Depending on what your leading hand is. The idea of the knockout punch is when I land it well, you should not wake up. And the devil does have knockout punches. He wants to knock you out of the ring. The devil you are romancing and say, I'm going to be better tomorrow. No. He wants you to launch your head forward so he can knock you out of the race. He wants to give you one scar that when you look at it, you will say it is impossible to recover again. I'm not saying God is saying it's impossible. You just say, and people throw in the towel. Please pay attention. So I was on campus because we're going to pray. Before I start teaching, part one, I just volunteered to teach mathematics on. Just volunteered. I mean, since I look a bit strong in it, so let me just assist. I wasn't offering any course that has to do with mathematics at that time. And this particular young lady met me at the tutorial center, and then just got interested. We'll always come. After the class, I say, how are you doing? So good to see you. And with Jesus, the following day, we'll walk a bit distance. Next time, we are walking. Next time, she's escorting me to my house, then go to her house. Next time, she will come, stay back and eat, then go to her house. Next time, she's trying to make the food, then go to her house. And the journey was progressing. And one thing led to another. One day, both of us had to eat together in the same plate. And there was just one meat there. So I ate, she ate. And I said, I'm the man. You eat the meat. I will buy meat if I want to eat meat. No, she said, no, you eat the meat. No, I said, you eat the meat. She said, you eat the meat. So she now looked at me and said, it's because you are not even an happening guy. That if you know what's going on, I mean, a guy who is, you know, there's a name they call it, will know to put the meat in his mouth and put it in her mouth. So I said, the house I came from, people eat meat with their own mouth. I don't know about this idea. So I ate the meat. So I ate the meat, and where she sat down, she suddenly opened her laps. And very stupid me. What should you do when you see such? Run. I stood there and I was saying, what are you doing? Close this thing. What are you doing? What are you doing? I was gone. And somehow, by herself, she began to rub her hands on her eyes, rubbing the hands on her eyes, and say, stop looking at me. She was screaming at me, stop looking at me. So what's the issue? And then she began to scream, fire, fire, fire. Removed her wig, threw it down. And before you know it, the girl began to confess of how she had slept with her pastor from home. And she had destroyed him. He's just doing ministry. He can never rise. How she had, through that sexual intercourse, locked the wife's womb. Can never give birth. How she had killed so and so person. Right there. And I was wondering, is this the girl who've been going home together every time? It is fire that reveals. It's fire that reveals. I went to minister somewhere and God said there are two witches. Long story short, one of the witches was the one who was cooking for the pastor. Pay attention. Pay attention. Pay attention. So the girl ran and left. And left the room. So at least I now know that this girl is a witch. Because she ran without receiving deliverance. So after a while, we were having... I had become the president and we're having evangelism. So we distribute ourselves. This go to evangelize this place and that person goes to evangelize that place. And one of the brothers insisted on going to an hostel to go and evangelize. And when they brought back the names of the people that had given their life to Christ, I looked at the names and I saw the name of the girl. So I became interested. So I said, okay, sister so and so, you follow up the ladies. Brother so and so, you follow up the guys. No, the brother insisted. He said, I want this soul. And the Bible says we should bear fruit and our fruit should abide. I want to disciple her. So I said, no, I insist. Let sister so and so follow her up, follow them up. You follow me and we follow the guys up. He said, no, I want to. Yeah, no. So, after a while, we stopped seeing him in fellowship. So I went to the house at night. I knocked. I mean, since he's my fellow man, I knocked. He asked who is there. I didn't talk. Then he came out, opened the door halfway. He was on boxers and no shirt. The girl on the bed. So I opened the door. I said, what are you doing? What's she doing here? He said that she has accommodation issues. So he decided to assist her. So I said, okay, you have tried till now. I will call sister so-and-so now. She will come pick her from your house tonight. They will give her accommodation there and free feeding. He said, no. That he has to follow this girl up. This. Is it because I want to win? I'm telling you a true life story. The matter, we got into an argument. Then finally I looked at him and I asked him a question. Hey, pick between this girl and the fellowship. I should not have asked him. I didn't know that what that question really means is pick between this girl and being a part of the move of God. So he said, because I want to win this soul. Because I want to win this soul. This. You people think this. I'll go with her. There's a stubborn person here. And what the devil intends to use to knock you out is the hardness of your heart. You are here. That is what stubbornness can do. And that was his hand in ministry. God is a merciful God. After a while, the fellowship getting bigger. The move of God broke out on campus. A lecturer came, ministered powerfully well. Oh, everywhere was on fire. He promised us equipment. And suddenly we didn't see him again. Yeah, the man that promised us equipment, everywhere was on fire. Well, come and give us the equipment. So I sent Escos to his house with wine, Bon Vita, Ampa, and to go and give it to him and tell him I asked of him and I say I wish him well. When they got to the house, while he was talking to them, that same girl came out of the room with Toya. The same girl. The next time I will see that man, it was on Crime Watch with Ankof. One tiny girl can hand a mighty move of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? But whether you believe it or not, it didn't end there. Another young man rose, promising, started doing amazing things and all that. Suddenly we noticed his voice went down. Hello, how are you doing? Went to his house, met the same girl in the house. Whether you believe it or not, it didn't end there. Can I give you a minute to cry? Hold on a minute. Whoever has been commissioned to knock me out of this race, by your fire, expose them and rescue me. Whoever has been commissioned to knock me out of this race, by your fire, expose them. His enemies, by your fire, expose them. By your fire, by your fire, by your fire. Oh, Jesus, by your fire. Oh, Jesus, by your fire, in Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Say that amen with fire. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. It is not everything that people recover from. There are different categories of agents of darkness. There are those whose assignment is one time knockout. Once. The assignment is knock him out. Knock her out. Whether you believe it or not, there's another story. A Bible school, a seminary school. Suddenly they just found out that the same sister that enrolled for the same seminary has slept with about 75% of intending ministers. The same girl. Collecting the vitality of their calling. It is more serious than the way you are praying it. The truth, and that's why I share the story as honest as I can. What helped me was not my prayer life. Somehow, mercy just spoke. Because Jesus looked at Peter and said, Satan has desired you, that he will sift you. Who amongst us has Satan desired? When Satan desires a man, he still looks normal until finally you can't find him again. He still looks normal, still preaching, still doing the same things he's been doing, but Satan has desired him. Jesus said, I have prayed for you. And when you are strengthened, strengthen your fellow. But when Satan desired Judas, Jesus said, that which you intend to do, do it quickly.
Father,
mercy beyond human understanding. Let it speak for me. Mercy, mercy, mercy beyond human understanding. Let it speak for me. Mercy, mercy beyond human understanding. Let it speak for me. In Jesus' name we are praying. Sit down for a minute. Let me speak to you as a prophet. Sit down for a minute. Do not manage anyone who does not have capacity for your future. Do not. It doesn't matter the emotions you feel. End it. Do not. Do not go ahead with anyone who doesn't share your calling. God is so wise, He will not give you a misfit. I perceive strongly that one of the things the devil intends to rake out this generation is wrong marriages. People can't say anything they want to say. Bad advice. Marry your spiritual tribe. You don't have to be teaching them language when you ought to be doing exploit. I sense that God is asking me to sound an alarm, an alarm, an alarm, an alarm. Somehow, a man will not be ignorant of what the devil intends to use to knock him out. A man will not be ignorant of it, because somehow it is a silent operation in his life. So don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. That thing that you say I will overcome tomorrow is the same knockout feast. When the harvest is fully ripe, because I am seeing a mighty harvest. And I am seeing people saying, were you there that time? At Inewe, at Enugu, at this place. Yes, we prayed. When the first fruits emerge, we will not try to look for your name among those doing exploits. Do you know what that means? We prayed together then, but where is he? Oh, we are fasting together, but where is he? Just remember, sister, so. What happened to her? Whether you believe it or not. One very sad reality, and it's a reality, is that what I'm saying will happen. When we begin to look back and say, thank God I made it. You won't be missing. You won't be missing. Put your two hands on your head. Everything and anything that has successfully wiped imagined great men from your lineage. Everything that has silenced every voice that should have emerged. Everything that has taken down every champion that should have risen. I decree and declare in the name of Jesus, they will not succeed over you. They will not succeed over you in the name of Jesus. They will not succeed over you. You will not become an abandoned project. Amen. You know, when I look at my people, sometimes some of them have labored. And I look at them and I'm shaking my head. In my heart, I am saying, in another 40 years, in another 50 years, they will still be standing as generals by my side. And I begin to rebuke the women that will sweep them out and the men that will sweep them out. I perceive that God wants to seal something. It doesn't matter how weak you are, mercy will walk with you. I can recount several decisions I should have made that my life would have been over. And what we call the calling would have been the end. But somehow, somewhere, I was speaking to a sister about marriage. And I was talking to her this, and God told me right there, you know you are lying. You know it won't work. Right there. That's mercy. But some will never hear it. And there is something in the arsenal of the devil called lying vanity. When a man leaves the path of understanding, he will begin to hear. Have you seen people who hear wrong voices well, even during prayers? You wonder why everything they hear is against their destiny, and yet they pray. It's the spirit of lying vanity. When that spirit latches upon a man, it's a virus. It's a virus. Seated in this place that God is preparing to be dispatched to different fields in years to come. He's equipping them, he's furnishing you, he's doing everything he's doing. The intensity is much because of the assignment. Sometimes you sit back, you cry, and say, am I the only one? Why is this it so much? Why can't I have freedom like the rest? The intensity is much because of the assignment. And when we begin to have the dispatch, you will not be missing. You will not be missing. What was the strategy of Herod? The strategy was simple. Kill the boys. Get the girls to marry Egyptians. Wipe them out like that. That's the strategy. So it means that wrong marriage is also part of the plan to wipe a man out. It is. A move that is blowing so hot can witness one fire extinguisher, and that's it. Because I don't know why I'm emphasizing on this, and it appears that there are people God is rescuing. It appears. It doesn't matter how hard you try, you will not successfully marry your enemy. So let me leave that by way of introduction. Something happened in the book of 2 Kings. Very interesting story. Second Kings chapter number 2 from verse 1. Don't forget, I'm telling you, the theme is, what do you want? That's what God has sent me to ask you. Take it, leave it. I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. Sons of the prophet that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said to him, knowest thou that the Lord will, that is, he's not our master, he's your master. From your head, that is, he's not our covering, he's your covering. What a life. Today. And he said, yeah, I know it. Hold your peace. That is, he is my master and is my covering. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. See, let me tell you a secret that your pastor doesn't want you to know, but I will tell you on his behalf. Do you want to know it? And sometimes the reason why we don't say it as pastors is because of God's dealing with our heart. Some of the most powerful impartations you will receive from any vessel lies in the things they don't allow people to do for them. Let me leave it, since you didn't get it. You'll get it tomorrow. Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho, verse 5. And the sons of the prophet that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away that? All the sons of the prophet, without meeting each other, have the same word. All. Without meeting, how can someone come to a house for the first time and take what the sons of the house can't see? How? How do you sit in the same place and not know this is what will be referred to in years to come by many generations? How? And someone comes, just come by, and that's it, peace, the mantle for the house. Say, I know it, hold your peace. Verse 6. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they two, it was very specific, the two of them went on. Verse 7. And 50 men of the sons of the prophet went and stood to view afar off. And they two stood by Jordan. You see, the danger of following from afar is that you will not see the things you should see. That's the danger. I know Apostle Edu. He is my pastor. But I only follow him on Facebook. You know, I'm sure you have some sons who are also in the Navy, but won't show up for the meetings. No value system. They can't stress themselves. They can't. We know that those who want it pursue those who have it. That I can't stress myself. Like the sons of prophet. Stood to view afar off. And Elijah did something amazing. And he wrapped his mantle together and smote the waters. And they were divided. And two of them went. Whether they saw it or not, we don't know. But Elisha saw it. Verse 9 now. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask, what shall I do for you? Listen, everyone. It doesn't matter how much you know how to pray. It doesn't matter how much you know how to fast. It doesn't matter how well you read the Bible. Certain dimensions can only be given. You can't steal it. Listen to what I'm saying. A Joshua cannot emerge through personal prayers. Don't write yet, because you need to do what I'm saying. No one is a legal runner if the baton is not passed. It must be passed. It is a must. And that's why one of the very important things that must happen in your life is for God to open your eyes to see the person wearing the mantle you need. For many reasons, you need to know them, because you will fight their battles too. That's one of them. So, and I read this scripture. Elijah didn't say, what do you want God to do for you? He said, what do you want me to do for you? There are things that are in the capacity of men to do. Please pay attention. I was with one of the fathers in the body of Christ. Just 2 days ago, so he just called me. Say, I'm in Abuja. Come and see me in the hotel. And I went to his hotel. And we registered. He shared many things with me and shared many things. At some point, my head wanted to explode. And he said, let me share a story with you. He said, one day, I think in the late 80s, he just received a call at the church office. And they were asking, where are you? He said, from Archbishop Benson Dausa. Wherever you are, report to Benin now. That's how Archbishop calls. Doesn't say, see me next tomorrow. Be on your way to Benin. And he left what he was doing, ran to Benin, waited for Archbishop. And Archbishop came in, saw him, and said to him, go on your knees. Stand up, my friend. Yes. Come. He said, go on your knees. And he went on his knees. He said, let me tell you a secret. When I want to pray for people, and I start praying, and they stand, my prayer is 2 sentences. Father bless them. Amen. And as he went on his knees, the Archbishop laid his 2 hands on him. He spoke in tongues. And he got up. He said, you can go back to Ibadan. That was all he said. Then he called the following day and said, do you know what happened to you? He said, no. He said, I have given you what it takes to overcome poverty. I have given you. Peter said to that man at the gate called Beautiful, silver and gold we don't have, but such as I have, I give you. Not all hands. Not all hands are empty. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, sit down for a while, my friend. And he shared a story with me, and I can show he has shared it publicly. And he shared, he said, when he was about to clock 59, he said, he went to meet his spiritual father, Pastor here at the way, to pray for him for his birthday. So Baba said to him, I won't pray for you yet. When you clock 60, come back. Of course, that word in the first place means you can't die between now and 60. Okay? So when he clocked 60, he went back. A 60-year-old man. You know what Baba said? He said, now I'm going to pray for you. Because it is now that you are about to begin ministry. So he said, go on your knees. Went on his knees. And he laid the 2 hands on him. And he said, when the 2 hands came on his head, he passed out. And he began to see crowd people all over the world giving their life. He had never caught that vision until that moment. And he was on the floor in tears for over 30 minutes. And he said, when he opened his eyes, Pastor Hia Dewey was still standing over him in tongues. There are days and there are days. Listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. Impartations varies. There are general impartations. Everybody bring your head. But there are specific impartation. When somebody touches something in the depth of the heart of the court and say, come, I evoke all the graces and impartation of my life and I give you. That kind is not general. When a man gets the privilege to be positioned for such kind, he has left his colleagues. Impartation can take you out of the league of your age mates. You heard this story. And the reason why I need to teach you this is because no one is an island.
every man God is using genuinely are stories you can trace to another man. Our stories. Pastor here, Adeboye shared this story himself publicly. They went to Tulsa, Oklahoma, Kenneth Hagin's meeting. He was able to secure access. So Kenneth Hagin saw them, said, "What do you want?" This one said, "I want to sell your tapes." This one said, "I want to bring your messages to Nigeria. I want to do this." And everybody spoke what they wanted. So he looked at him, "You young man, you are not talking. What do you want?" And he said, "I want everything that makes you, you." So he said, "The rest can go out. Give them what they wanted. You, go on your knees." And he laid those two hands on him. And he said he passed out. And when he woke up, he met Kenneth Hagin kneeling beside him, praying fervently. There comes a day in the life of a man that something is to be handed. And I heard God say it again loud and clear. Ask them, "What do you want?" Elisha said, "I want double portion of your spirit. I want twice as much. I want not your anointing, but your spirit." There are two different things. If you carry a man's anointing and you didn't carry his spirit, it will crush you. I want your spirit. I want what God has done to you in my life. He said, "You have asked a hard thing." Some things are actually hard. Some things are not cheap. Forget about the nonsense. Anybody who will stand out in their own days, you must shut down on media. Because they will rob you of the mantle that they have no replacement for. Shut down. Shut down. The next army will not be recruited on Facebook. Shut down. Shut down. I'm telling you now. Shut down. He said, "What you have asked for is hard. Nevertheless, if you see me, you will have it." And I asked myself, Elisha, was he not seeing him? He was seeing him. But there's another sight. There's another seeing. You know the reason why people misbehave sometimes? You try to help them. Do you know what you're about to? It's because they have not seen. The reason people are careless and they do all sort of things and miss chances is because they have not seen. Jesus told that woman that was at the well of Samaria, John 4. He said, "If you know who is it, which is that is asking you to give me water. If you know." And there is something about sight and the change of life. Now one day, Judas will, or let's say Philip, let's say James, gets to heaven. It now occurred to him that he was a roommate with the King of Kings for 3.5 years. Your roommate was the one who made the heavens and the earth for 3.5 years. Your roommate, Jesus. Peter, it now occurred to Peter that when he took Jesus aside and rebuked him in Matthew 16, he was rebuking the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When Thomas doubted him, you doubted the Lord. You had the access for 3.5 years to see how we eat, how we sleep, how we bath. What a privilege. But privileges are not privileges for a blind man. They are just passage of moment. They can't see. They don't understand. Do you know there was a time that T.L. Osborne or a robot and about three of them lived in the same street? In fact, the same building. The same building at Tulsa. Let me ask you a question. When you look at what is happening, what do you see? Can you even see? Do you understand what is happening? Do you know that the moment that is playing right before us is a moment that will be referred to by many generations to come? That long after we are gone, our stories will be told. About a generation that God found men. Go and check church history. Lester Sumrall was a young boy who, by divine orchestration, wandered into the house of, what's his name again? Huh? Smith Wigglesworth. And the old man who was passing in his 80s was mentoring this teenager. And the time came that there was a war and they had to go separate ways. And he called Lester somewhere. And he said, go on your knees. And he laid those hands on him and spoke words. There must be a moment like this in the life of anyone that will stand out. Where an authorization is given, there must be. And that's why you must understand, your inheritance is not everywhere. It is in your lineage. And in all your knowing, you must know your captain. Anybody can, I've come here to be a blessing to you. Your inheritance is with the Father over this house. Can you see it? Do you recognize it? When you open your eyes, what do you see? And as they were going, suddenly there was a separation between them. Chariot of fire separated Elijah from Elisha. And suddenly Elijah was gone. And Elisha saw the moment and he screamed, "My father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen." He wasn't calling those angels. He was calling Elijah. "You are the chariot of Israel." I don't want to go into the theology of that. But he saw it. And the Bible said the mantle fell. It will touch your hands. It will touch your hands. It will touch your hands. Because, I mean, I was wondering. Until later we saw that amongst the sons of prophets, one amongst them who didn't recognize Elijah died young. And the wife came to Elisha. I said, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, but he died broke. Creditors have come for his children." When you miss rising with your generation, nothing is more painful than that. Nothing is more painful than seeing men and knowing that God began to assemble you at the same time, or you were left behind. Sometimes out of despise. Sometimes out of stubbornness. Just stubborn. Just want to prove that I can do it on my own. And let me say something very strong. Quote me anywhere. God is God on the throne. But when God plants your inheritance somewhere and you wander out, you will have to create it yourself. It is that serious. There are people whose journey ended because they can't say, "I'm sorry. I have missed it. Can I start again?" They'll say, "I'd rather live to prove."
There are many battles you can't win. One of such battles is when you fight your father. To win and then be justified as what? There are principles in place, and when you ignore those principles, you won't come out. As we speak, there are those who want business. There are those who want money. There are those who want fame. Huh? They are only sons when you have a meeting and they want to carry your Bible so people can see them with you. But there are those who want the mantle. What do you want? Huh? What do you want? I'm asking you. What do you want? The way you are pursuing, do you really want something? What are you after? What are you after? What's your greatest longing? What's your heart desire? Nobody stands out until that vital force is. A day must come, it must be released. Somehow God orchestrated a way. Plans it by himself in his sovereignty. Look at Lot and Abraham. The hand of God was so strong on Abraham. That's the man. In him all nations will be blessed. Abraham said to Lot, you go. Anywhere you pick, I'll pick the opposite. How do you leave the blessing? And the Bible said Lot looked at the well-watered land of Sodom and said, I will go here. But you see, if the blessed man go to a desert, the desert becomes a fruitful field. It is not the place, it is the man. There are no greener pastures. There are men who are carrying the grace to water the land. You must understand that. What was the significance about the lineage of Abraham? What did they know that we don't know? They understood the power of the blessing. That Esau and Jacob will fight over it. And the time came, the Bible said, Abraham gave his goods and all those things to his servant. That is, when Abraham grew old, he gave all that he had. He gave them all to his servant. And the Bible said, he gave all that he had to Isaac. What was all that he has? Such as I have received, I transfer to you. Such as I have received, I transfer. It is not about being loud. It is a grace factor. It is a grace factor. It is an invisible force that produces the visible sight. It produces the result. It produces it. That suddenly you notice this. When Elisha returned, they looked at him and said, ah, the spirit of Elijah, doth rest upon him. He's a different man. He's no longer amongst us. He's no longer our mate. He has shifted. Something has separated him. He has left us. When that hand comes on a man, you leave your generation. Check what I'm telling you. Anyone who is doing anything special, anything different, one day came, something entered. And you must value it. One day so, sometimes maybe in a meeting like this, and somebody's eyes just got open and said, this is my moment. And enters into that reality. And that's it. Even you can't understand. Something has changed about my life. Something changed about my appetite. Something changed about my quest. Something changed about my longing. Now, this is not me working for it. I was given. I went to see one of the fathers. Just to greet him and then invite him. I've been crying to God in prayer before I went to see for something. And the first thing, when I entered his office, he looked at me and he said to me, kneel down, son. I went on my knees.
And he said, I give you so, so and so keys. The exact thing I've been praying about. Do you know the reason why sometimes you can stand before people who carry the grace to shift you and they can't pick anything? It's because you have no registered hunger in the spirit realm. You have not thrown it where it will be registered. You are bare. It is not registered. You are living life without a pursuit and without hunger. So when you come face to face with what you need, you become like one of the sons of the prophet. You can't have what you didn't pursue. You can't have it. Somehow, this thing we call grace repels dishonor. Again, I'm asking you tonight, what do you want? Is there anyone who will take a minute and cry? Do you even have a desire? Do you have? Do you have a desire? What have you seen that you can't sleep and you wake up at night and say, God, give me this. Give me Nigeria. Give me the East. Give me Africa. What do you want? What do you want? Eagles fly. It's in you. You were meant to fly. Lion roar. Eagles fly. It's in you. You were meant to fly. Lion roar. I activate sight. Blindness be gone. Blindness be gone. Blindness be gone. Let your eyes of understanding be flooded with light. Be flooded with light. Shatata malakata. As the waters of the sea. Elamata shambele kabrabati. Elamai kene mohuvise. Ebinokai de binakaito. Sebilakai de mokomprabai. Teach us the way until your glory comes, Lord. Teach me to wait until your glory comes. Teach us to wait until your glory comes. Teach us to wait until your glory comes. Teach us to wait until your glory comes, Lord. Teach us to wait until your glory comes. Ah, teach us to wait until your glory comes. Teach me to wait until your glory comes. I come on, Sebelakai, Sebelakai, Abanamati. Pray, Look up, everyone. Today, there's another layer of activation on your calling. Today, lift your hands where you are seated. Now, Father, there are people whose destiny depends on this moment, whether online or on site. I don't know if you can see it. This is a moment in destiny we will never forget. I summon callings. I summon ordinations. From my right hand side to the middle to the left. Let the fire that activates callings, please help them now, because the glory of God is so strong here that you will enter into another level of sight. You will see it. Father, that fire is released from my right to the middle and across. Let ordinations be activated now. That's it. Let the activations begin. That is it. Help them. Help them. That is it. No more blindness. No more blindness. You see it. You enter. I summon the mantle over this house. Let it find expressions and activate callings. Where are the prophetic worshippers? Where are the prophetic vessels? Summon up now! No prophetic vessel will be left behind. Summon them now! You are called up higher. Shakai de mokate. Rikandeli sukai peluaikate pino suka banaikatesh. Let the fire that sit on prophets, let it sit. I kanemote kabai. I see evangelistic vessels with signs and wonders and a burden for soul winning. Let the fire that never goes out be activated now. We activate those callings. We summon those callings. It's time to speak. Shaikane mahaide isukan belosi rebele koteliai pelayane no kopai. Hey, hey, hey. Shai katabalai fede mante kebrifitis tepelebi fede okaya. There's a wind, beloved. There's a wind. There's a wind. There's a wind. There's a wind of the Spirit. Help her. Help her. She has received. There's a wind of the Spirit. There's a wind of the Spirit. There's a wind. There's a wind. There's a wind. There's a wind of the Spirit. What do you want? What do you want to be done for you? What is your quest? What is your hunger? What is your heart desire? What do you want? Hey, Sakata Balata, Tefrinde Kebuta. Hey. Amen.
The message you just listened to is sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, FLAME. To partner with FLAME, kindly make use of these account details. 2215005289 UBA.